Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to Comic-Con Stars. Oh man, I'm filling in for the good doctor, but the good doctor will be here for a few minutes at least, from what I'm being told. Papa Stro here, by the way, everyone, and we have a very special guest tonight, L.A. Tank, who is the current UPWA Heavyweight Champion, formerly of ECW, and been a lot of places through the years. And well, let's get to our panel first off. Believe it or not, here he is, the man, Dr. John. How you doing, Dr. John?
Hey, I decided I'd try to make it for a little bit since we worked hard to get L.A. Tank on here, and it's great to have him here, and it's great to be here at Comic-Con Stars. Maybe I'll make it through, maybe I won't. Occasionally we're under the weather, so thanks for having a strong captain at the helm tonight, and I'll be here as usual doing my best.
All right, there you go. Get well soon, Dr. John. And
absolutely,
we have my brother from another mother, the one and only Dave Atwell, the Hunger Series, man. Welcome back, my man.
Thanks, man. It's good to have Tank on tonight. Good to have everybody around. Dr. John, we already discussed the remedy plan. I hope you get to feeling better soon, my brother. But
thank you.
Good to be on tonight. Look forward to a good show, man, as always. Just as wind
that's
needs
it
to die down.
That's
so if you hear a girlish
God's
shriek,
sake,
that's just me trying to run for indoors. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that grandma needs to have a brain examination.
I got to fight.
That grandma needs a brain examination. Jesus. Jeez.
Yeah.
Once again, that groundhog needs a brain examination, for crying out loud. Good Lord. Turn
well,
the
well,
heat up. Get
the
brain here, man.
You know, my son was in here the other night, and he said, yeah, we're supposed to be getting ice tomorrow, Pop. And I was like, man, ice schmice. I'm not hearing that garbage. You're not pulling that crap on me. And I went on this big tirade about every time the weather gets cold, everybody starts screaming ice. You know, guess what, Chief? You're reporting in tomorrow. I'm not going to hear anything. Went on this big tirade about the weather, you know. About a half hour later, got to let the dog out. And what do I see? What they deem as a wintry mix. Snowflake, sleet, a little bit of rain. And I says, well, damn. I had to turn around and just say, all right, well, need to be a weatherman, I reckon, son.
Well, weathermen going crazy worldwide to our guest tonight. Let's welcome the one and only L.A. Tank. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, gentlemen? How you doing?
Excellent. Good to have you on tonight.
Great to be here. Dave is like taking over the show because I introduced the guest and Dave starts talking. That's wonderful. So,
I'm trying to do my part, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's going on with L.A. Tank?
Heel.
What's happening?
Not much, but I know one thing. I wish Mother Nature make up his mind. Cause boy, it's a little drafty when you're a little ball heater fellow.
Oh, no, that's right.
Boy, stick my head out the door every morning, and a whole lot of people think it's a joke. But the wind will make you duck your head just like you get, like you receiving random gunfire. I mean, your head automatically ducks down when that wind hit the cross of that top of that bald head. So,
no,
let you know
man,
real quickly, you need to put a hat on that head. That's for sure.
That went crazy. Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Too much, man.
Well,
so, yeah, what's
going all right? Staying busy. Just got another
good
date thrown at me from UPWA. I got to go to High Point, New Jersey, May 12th. I got to go up there and defend the title up there. So,
oh man.
Other than that, got another upcoming event coming on. Believe me, you booked on that one show on the 21st of April.
Mm-hmm.
Charleston, South Carolina, I believe.
Yes, Brewery Championship Wrestling.
Yeah,
we're actually going to be at that that beer company, right?
Brewery. Yeah. The brewery. Hopefully this time it doesn't rain. Well, we are slipping and sliding to the rain for sure.
Oh, man. I was hoping I wouldn't bump into the one of those beer containers, man. And the like,
oh,
beer
I know.
Gee
whiz. Oh, boy.
Say, fighting in a brewery sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah, Dave,
it is,
you would love
it. It can be as long as you have the proper, adequate space.
As long as you got a straw, you're set.
Yeah. I mean, I put it to you this way. One good, as we will call it, as old fellows would call it in the business, one good spot monkey, you really gonna be juicing yourself against some breweries.
It's like Cheers, Dave. Everybody knows your name.
That's for sure.
Where there's beer, they'll definitely know mine. You know that, so.
Yeah,
this is the brewery you want to leave. The brewery itself, yeah. Now, when I started working for that company 3 years ago, that brewery was sitting in like a little small little, you know, one of those small little probably 10 by 20s. And it has grown to where it's at now. And the guy actually brews his own beer. He has different brews now, different recipes of brews. And believe it or not, he has this one beer. I never tasted a red beer before. But it's like cherry red, but it's good as hell. It doesn't, it's I don't know what's the name of it. I have it on my Facebook page, but it's an awesome beer. I will always recommend it to anybody because it's not like an Irish beer will give you a kick or nothing. It's like a gradual good beer.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, something that's not too heavy, something you can tip back a few of and not feel like you ate a brick.
Let me see. Any of you guys Australian beer drinkers?
I'll drink some Falstaff, but that's about the closest thing. I don't drink a whole lot of Australian, yeah. I don't get over there that much. I don't get out much often.
But see, me, I'm a Falstaff type of guy. But, you know, you're Canadian, mate. You got to sit back and cheer, too.
You ain't lying.
Oh my goodness!
Especially in these days, Sam, you need to have a chill factor because every day in the news you hear about something that's depressing and sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out what is our government going to do? You know, we aid all these different countries. What are we going to aid home? That's the disturbing part that bothers me.
Yeah. Well, That's what we got to do. We got to pull it back and protect the fort. You know, it's good to give, but you got to make sure your own rent's paid first, you know?
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That
ain't going to do no good if that's what kills me, all these countries that say death to America. I'm like, all right, well, then the check ain't coming.
Yeah, pretty much.
You want to blow us up, but on the flip side, you know, you're getting billions of dollars in your way.
Hey, Dr. John, what do you think about that cherry
beer
tank talking about? What do you think of that cherry beer tank talking about? It sounds pretty good.
The closest thing that I've had to that was over in England. They put red currant in their light lager, and it tastes really good. I've never had anything like it over here. Yeah, it's really good. It's kind of sweet, and they all drink it. That's the closest I've ever had to a cherry. To a cherry beer, I mean, Tank. Did it taste like cherries, or did it just taste like some kind of a different beer?
Some type of a different beer, but it had not a distinguished cherry flavor to it, but it had enough to let you know like a taste of a cherry. Not that much, cool. You know, not too heavy. It was just right. I mean, it was just perfect.
Yeah. I always wondered because, I started putting these flavorings in my diet, ginger ale and things like that, and I just wondered why people don't do that in their beer, you know, like flavored orange or cherry or watermelon or whatever. I mean,
brews, and it came straight out of his tap. I was kind of shocked by it. He has all kinds of different variety beers, and also they have a pizza restaurant in there called Voodoo Pizza. It sounds crazy with the name. But when I tell you, they have New York, I mean, they actually will give you a New York style sliced pizza of your choice.
Mm.
I mean, if you want to order all kinds of crazy toppings, you will get a 12-inch slice of pizza.
Oh, man.
We don't have nothing like that here in Jacksonville, man. It's like you take your prom date to Wendy's around here, you know?
Oh, my
There's
God.
Nothing.
Well, don't feel bad. I'm up here now. I'm in the next town over. I had to leave out my house real quick. But my town in the city of Petersburg, it used to be a historical town that, you know, used to be a booming town when I was a kid. You know, as time mm-hmm. went wrong, you know, people move out, you know, different things have changed. But the next town over is the city of Colonial Heights, and that is one little area that has grown where we have all our food area, movie theaters, you know, nice little stuff. We're right here right beside the Army Base of Fort Lee, which is found out would develop and be one of the biggest Army bases here on the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have it down here. It's a good little area up here. You just got to get used to the Commonwealth. I call it the Commonwealth system. No, my wife, she's from North Carolina. So when she first moved mm-hmm. up here, I told her, I said, you got to keep your ID on you at all times. She looked at me, she was like, mm-hmm. why? I was like, yeah, Virginia. Because Virginia has a law that you cannot be 25 foot from your place of residence while valid identification. There's a class 2 misdemeanor in the Commonwealth.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Do most people pay attention? No. But it eliminates you from, if you get stopped by law enforcement, you know, no matter what age, race, color you are, you know, you have something to identify you, because here in Virginia, you still have the old law where if they can identify you, they have a right to detain you and run your fingerprints. And sometimes your fingerprints might not come back for 7 days.
Wow.
Good grief.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you run up and down the coast, though. Carolina, you know, you could ride on a motorcycle, no helmet. You can drink all day and night. You can do what you want. Then you go into North Carolina, and it starts darkening down a little bit. You know what I mean? We start going back maybe like 500 years, and then you hit Virginia. And, I mean, they've got helicopters monitoring your speed. They've got cameras
yes,
on the side of the road, you know. And it's like, wow, what in the world, man? I feel like back Spanish Inquisition or something, man. You don't want to fart in Virginia, you know?
Yeah, that's why, you know, I laugh when I have, you know, some of my friends I talk to out of state, they tell me, hey, dude, do you ever worry about any terrorist acts here in Virginia? First time I look at him and laugh, I tell him, it don't matter what color you is here. You can be Japanese, American, white, black, whatever, mixed all together in one. In the Commonwealth, if it's not color green, it does not matter here. <What's that?
laughs> Todd just messaged me saying about there is like some New York style pizza here in Jacksonville known as BPWS, Brick Fire Pizza and Wings, I think that's what it's called, but they have New York style pizza. I wasn't aware of that, so must be some new deal that's opened up because I'm just every time I've been to Jacksonville.
What kills me about Todd, and I know he's listening. I've seen him at work today. Todd knows where all these eating places are at, and he's forever cooking stuff and coming in and showing you stuff that he cooked. But the guy's like size 29 around the waist. How in the world does he pull that off? I get fat just looking at the recipes. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
He does it at those.
How's he doing?
He does it so much he hates it.
That's got to be what it is, you know.
Oh man,
Todd's a great guy though. He knows the keys when it comes down to chow now.
He says it's next to like Lilianas place. Lilianas, I think it's called it. Next to there, that restaurant or that place. But it's Brick Fire Pizza and Wings is what it's called.
Give that a shot. You know,
go,
again,
go.
I don't get out much.
Yeah, I had no idea. He just informed me. I mean, Like
you
said,
know what? I think say that one more time, Stro. What was the name of it? You said Brick Fire and Pizza?
Yeah, Brick Fire, Pizza, and Wings. Yeah, that's what he said.
I'm trying to sit here thinking, matter of fact, I think the closest one, I think, if it's what it is Suffolk, Virginia. That's like right there at North Carolina and Virginia line.
Cool.
I think they do have one
right.
In Suffolk.
Oh, right on. That's cool.
Because I've heard
right
of them because you're right. They do have some dynamite food there. If this is the same place I want to eat at. You know, that's the funny thing about being a wrestler. You're so much on the road, and I think, Stro, you can agree with me on this. You get to the point where you really appreciate a home-cooked meal because you see some in the restaurant,
yeah,
you're like, do I want to eat this time?
Somebody cooking Hamburger Helper, and it's just like rage. That's like Christmas dinner to get some Hamburger Helper going on. Just something. Little pot of manwich will do a guy good. You know what I mean? When you get tired of eating that fast food and somebody's busting up some manwich, you're like, oh, man, was this Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, as long as nothing ain't crawling out of it like Spaceballs, we'll be good to go.
Yeah.
That's later.
The funny part about it, you know, when you kill your family on the road with you like me, I've happened to kill my family sometimes on the road with me, and when we're at home during the weekdays, we all look at each other like, you know, what would be something interesting for dinner? And all of us look at each other like, no. Look at the fact of what you said. And if you get somebody to bust open a can of manwich, it was almost like a battle royal in my house.
Manwich, yes. Right on.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness. So Tank.
Hey, talk
Tank,
about Virginia, though, man. Oh, good. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, let's talk about Virginia. Go ahead.
No, have you been to I know you guys have been to Virginia Beach, like downtown Virginia Beach.
Oh, yeah.
That's
one area I particularly don't care for, even though it's here, because of the law.
Yeah,
you're talking about petty. You cannot curse in Virginia Beach while having a fine.
No. There's actually
said,
a sign up that have like the little comic
Virginia
stuff.
Beach, you will be fine.
And
are we heading there like for Tidewater coming up, Dr. Jones?
That'll be close, yeah.
Tidewater's
yeah,
in
right. Tidewater, Chesapeake, yeah, Norfolk, all
yeah,
that stuff.
Tidewater Comic Con, yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
You know. Tidewater.
Yeah, that's my midway to area.
I don't
want to
get wrong.
You can't go to Virginia Beach.
Third weekend.
No, they might as well call me Al Capone in Virginia Beach.
Who wants to go first? For God's sake, go ahead. Let's not have a battle royal in like Comic Con Stars podcast. Throw me over the top rope first.
As long as it's in a brewery.
Oh, Dave. Oh, Jesus. Love you, brother. So what's the dates for the Tidewater Comic Con, Dr. John?
From what I know, it's the third weekend. That's how I kind of measure them. So it's the third weekend in May.
May?
So,
oh, okay.
Third weekend
in May.
Okay.
I'll look at that.
Okay.
I'll lift that
all right.
Up while Dave talks.
Yeah,
Send me a list of it and get together with you guys. And I'll be interested in doing my first one with you guys.
Well, we're glad to have you, Tank. It was good meeting you. Yes, sir, Stro.
No, I'm just here. Don't mind me. I'm just, if you hear a little squeak in the background, that's me. Tank, tell us a little about some of your experiences through the years, you know, with your travels, man. I know you got some great stories, man. You always do.
Oh, yeah. I used to laugh when I first got into the industry, and I got into it back in 96, August of 96, and I started with that point. At the time, when I was about my early 20s, when you set up an indie company came downtown Petersburg at an old movie theater, and he wrestled there, and every time I got an opportunity, I went. Well, I just happened to go on this last one, and about 2 weeks later, at the time, I was working for the Virginia State Police as an undercover narcotics officer. And I happened to see one of the wrestlers in the 7-Eleven. So I walked in, and I looked at him and said, don't know you from somewhere. But one day he seen with his badge, and he was just sitting there telling me everything about wanting to know, like, no, how much I did not recognize him. And I guess he figured I was arrested. And make a long story short, I wound up letting him know that I was there. I knew he was a wrestler. And I wound up asking him how to get into the business, and he told me how to get in, you know, who had a school. It is 22 years later. I've collected what we call stories. I used to hear the older guys, when they used to call me a jabroni, you know. I've heard their stories, and here it is. Oh, I have my own set of stories. And
right.
My first story started off with the great late Ivan Koloff. I was working for a company in Fredericksburg, Virginia. No, excuse me, Arlington, Virginia. And we was at a club that had a dance floor. You could probably put a half of a gymnasium side in it. And I was sitting in there getting dressed, you know, thinking over my match. Then come Ivan Koloff walked in. So I looked at him, and he said, oh, you must be a jabroni. And kept walking on, walked off laughing. I looked at him like, I know Ivan Koloff just didn't call me a rookie, so I stood up like I was a new stuff. And I looked at the size of this man's body. I sat right by there real quick, and I thought about it. Boy, I, you know, did something stupid. And, hey, that was my lifetime. I truly said that man had a big back. He had, God rest his soul, but that man looked like he had about 3 locker sizes on the back of his back or something. And it was thick as bull, too. He came back over to me, and he was like, asking my name. And I told him my name. And the worst thing he told me was, he said, the day you start learning this business, you get out of it, because if you don't, either you're going to hurt someone or somebody's going to hurt you. And I took that to very heart, what he said. And every time I ever stepped in a square circle, you know, I always took it to either learn or teach, one to two. If not, get out. If I can't get nothing out of it. Which, you know, one of my good stories, I had a trainee, you know, when you train a guy in this industry, and I think so you understand, you know, in this industry, relationships, marriages, friendships, all of the above is tested on a daily basis. And it's not for some people. And I look at my trainee when I trained him, the fella I told him about the little love bug, you know. They said, you got a young lady that's going to stand. Well, I taught this boy how to do a suicide dive, similar to Jeff Hardy's Fanton, I think he does. And it was funny. This boy Danny landed on his head. Next time, she come running through the locker room, you know, through the curtain, raising hell. My security raised the door, I guess. Well, he's trying to get me, but the next time, look, she's sitting there raising hell all this fun just for him to walk by, give her a kiss, and told her to go drink something.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there looking at him like, look, dude, you got to take your girl. She got to. I was running the show. I was like, look, you got to tell her she got to get the girl. Oh, man, whatever. He tells me, oh, fucking, I don't care. She'll be all right. And I'm looking at him like, no, she's not going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker, she can see love poured out her ears, and you just almost dived and did a suicide dive on your head. Right now, she's traumatized, and she needs your attention. He looks at me,
oh, man.
She needs five. to him and was like, look, dude, if you don't get this damn girl, man, she was just having a seizure. And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. So he finally went out and talked to him. The boy, the damn police we got had for security that night, they were ready to arrest her ass for damn being psychotic. So this was in Elizabeth City. But, now, let me see. Let me give you a good one. here we go. You know this one, Strobe. The promoter, okay. Don Brower.
Yeah.
You remember I started telling about this story Saturday. Him at the time, he had, when I first came to work for the company, about a year, 2 years in, he had me and another fella he put together named Michael Devine, which me and him knew each other anyhow. He put us together as a tag team. So, well, the story started off funny from the get-go because the train wound up running late. And that was turn around making us gonna be running late to get into the venue. So we leaving from Virginia. You know, the last stop was obviously here in Virginia. And turn around, you know, the last final stop I think was Newark, New Jersey. Well, on we getting up that way. Well, once we get up to the train station, another wrestler came and picked us up. Well, this one guy, Devine, he had never been basically from the south up the north. So this was his actual first time as a 30-something-year-old man going to the north. He wasn't aware at the time of how northerners are different than southerners. You know, they actually trusted each other up in the north. Versus a southerner, because that means you might get into another brawl. You know, that's how southerners are. Well, we get up there. It starts on the interstate. Okay, we're on the way to the venue. We're wrestling. It's going to be done on the road. Don had hooked up somewhere. It was like one of them type of deals where if you could pay for it on pay-per-view for like $17.99 or some crazy stuff like that, and you could actually see the live indie show. Okay, so we get there. We're on the way getting there, so we see a bus fire. So they're diverting traffic off of the highway. Of course, you can see the police up there directing here. Well, the guy that was with us was Dan, the man. Black guy. So Dan leans his head out the window. He started cussing, calling the cop every little name in the child of gun. So at this time, Devine, he's sitting right beside him. Devine starts freaking out. You're looking at him like, stop fucking, you know, beep, 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 stop, you got the cop, leave the cop alone. You know what I'm saying? Because he's thinking, you know, they hear you cuss at the cops in the south, you're going to jail. Up there in the north, you cuss at the police, they're going to cuss right back at you. You know, that's how they do. So as we getting past.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is the funny part. Me and them, my trainee at the time, we sit in the back seat of the car. We just rolling. I mean, we're like a bunch of girls in a schoolhouse, laughing our ass off. Devine, he's sitting up there freaking out. We're trying to get him, well, we're trying to calm him down, but at the same time, it's funny as hell. Then him and the cop get to cussing each other out. And Devine, he having a worse season, so we pull off. So by the time we had to turn around, pull over, and get Devine to calm down. Because we thought he was going to have a heart attack in the car. He had that going off on everybody. This is a fella that you normally don't hear go off. I mean, you can see he's a big guy. He's very quiet. You know, he don't say nothing unless he really has something to say. Well, we get up there, gets around the corner. Here go Dan. They mouthing at each other again. Him and another cop. Divine, he's having another thing, a seizure in the car like a kid having a tantrum. So we get past this one again. So by this time, Devine, he's all worked up. He's really probably like a powder keg ready to shoot on somebody when we get to the venue. Open the back of the venue door. The first person we see is Spike Dudley. And I'm sitting there going like, okay, it's Spike Dudley. I'm looking at him like, Spike, this boy has, I guess, a pint of waffle. And he's probably got about maybe 4 inches left in the bottom of the bottle. and he is drunk as hell. And I'm looking at him like, Spike, dude, you don't work in the night, are you? He looks at me, yeah. I was like, oh, no, bro. No. I'm looking at him, I say, dude, your speech is so slurred, dude. Don't even walk by the police. Again, it kicks me first. I'm like, Spike, that's not going to be hard right there, bro. I say, you know. Okay, so we step over here. We get to walk into the building. We find out, and Don had it real set up that night. He had a production team and all. They showed you which way to go. I see Don. I go holler at Don and say, hey, Don, we here. He said, good, finally, glad you got here. And they had this one guy. He looked like a generic version of Shawn Michaels. He was going to do an interview on the camera. And the way they had it go, you remember how back in the day where it looked like Vince had it where they'll just go live in the back of the building with somebody doing an interview? Well, that's how Don had it with this production crew he had. Well, this guy's sitting here trying to do an interview. Next time I look, you got Don. I'm trying to get Don's attention to figure out what dressing room to go in. Him and the damn production guy and the light guy, they get in a three-way FU contest. At the same time, you still got the camera live. The boy still trying to do his interview, and the host, he's trying to hold a microphone. And they all trying to pay attention to what they doing. And you in this background, you got the production guy. He hollering "F you" at Donnie and "F you" at the light guy, and then he both hollering "F you" at them. And I'm looking at Don going, Don looks at me and go, "Hold on for a minute, Tank. F you. Hold on for a minute, Tank. F you." And I'm just looking at me and Divine looking at each other like, what the hell kind of circus is this? We came all the way from the South for this? I mean, I'm telling you, to see it in person, it looked like something you would see on TV, honestly. The funny thing about this, the whole time while the interview is live, all you can hear in the background is this guy will have a call. He'll have a say a couple words, and you hear "F you, F you, F you, F you, F you, F you," and I'm like, "What kind of damn shit is this that you turn around and do interviews with monologue in the background with somebody when you got three different guys hollering F you?" They tried their best to edit the footage, but you can still hear the actual situation today if you actually see the footage. That one today alone, I think out of my whole 22-year career, I remember that very distinguished, and that was back in 2004-2005 at William Patterson University. And I'm going to tell you now, that's one that will always sink in my head as some of my greatest moments because of the fact of the way things are. And, you know, you have your greatest places no matter where you go, and I think you can contest to this. No matter how many cities, states, small towns, you know, big counties, wherever you go, you will still have that one distinguished place that will stick out among all of them. And I would say that part of William Patterson University, that one stuck out with me. It really did. It stuck out real well with me. That's just one out of the many stories. Of course, I've seen promoters get their behind cheek, you know, beat up over money. I've seen them strip down to the birthday suit. I've actually seen them get hit in the balls with frozen water bottles. That was an interesting deal on that one.
Yeah. Oh, you remember saying it about
Which, again, this will happen to be a Don Brower story. Don, if I remember correctly, I was in the locker room. And it's always happened to him. Every time I've ever been in UPWA locker room, when something go down, it seems like a deja vu. I'm always lacing up my right boot on my every time. Well, Don and this guy, he's no longer working for the company. For Playboy Marcus Shields, that was his work name. they traveled together from Philly down to North Carolina on every ship. Well, Don had this habit of playing practical jokes on people.
Mm.
And from what I'm understanding, Don turned around and emptied a whole can of shaving cream in this guy's shoes.
Oh, man.
So, when the guy put his foot in his shoes, whoosh, here comes shaving cream oozing all over the place. And, you know, the reaction was definitely a Kodak moment to America's Funniest Pole Video moment. So,
mm-hmm.
he told Don, I'm going to get you. Don, I'm going to get you. So, I'm sitting there listening at them two go at it. Here we in the process. I'm lacing that right boot up. And he thought, look, Don coming in there saying something slick to the boy. As I got my head down, they said, look, here come a frozen water bottle shoo, over my head, right on point, right in the balls of Donnie. I mean, perfect hit. Donnie goes down to his knees. So I turn around looking at him like, well, damn, I almost got hit in the head with a bottle, but it missed me. But it damn sure hit him in the balls, and he the balls. So I turn around, I thought about it. I said, Don, he said, what? I bust out laughing. I said, how you ball? He looks at me. He flipped me the hell off. I did. I turned around. I said, well, if you don't do nothing else, Don, you can always get a backup part. Because no lie, if you ever seen the movie, and still don't know what I'm talking about, it's called Ready to Rumble, based around the WCW characters.
Yes.
My man was laying on that floor howling just like that actor was every time he got kicked in the balls. Howling about agony and all. That's why I looked at him like, damn, Don, how your balls? You need some ice? He just looked at me because he just got hit in the balls with a frozen ice bottle.
Yes.
And as of today, if you mention that Stroh, he'll probably look at you and won't say that like he found out. I made a joke on him about him because I don't know if you've never seen Don, but if you look at Don and you look at Bubba Ray Dudley from the Dudley Boys, you put a pair of glasses on Donnie, and I think, no lie, them boys could pass for blood brothers.
Oh, man.
Well, Donnie, out of all the different promoters I've worked for, Donnie has been the most interesting one. He's been the only guy I've stuck with for the length of time I have because I guess with the transitional stuff that was going on in the WWE, a lot of things that I grew up with and a lot of things that I took a secret. And I struggle, I think you understand what I mean on this. When you take a sacred honor to this brotherhood that we are in, you know, I've watched the indie circuit change completely in the last 10 years to being a bunch of them where you're making a bunch of money to. You don't have many guys out here, and you got to be careful. Some of these guys are the actual promoters or actually actual marks that couldn't have their way and decided to make their own league. And
yeah.
I've seen that destroy what we have loved called independence. And I think that's one of the reasons why I stuck with Don out of majority of the promoters the longest, because, you know, me and him had already had our understanding. You know, he was a new company starting up. He had already been in business for maybe a year before, prior for my arrival there. And I've seen a place to make my mark at. But it always goes like anybody else, when you work with people enough, and I think Stroh can contest to that, I'm probably one of the funniest guys in the locker room. I mean, I'm quiet, but when I do say something, boy, I got some funny ass to say because we already got enough tension in the locker room to worry about your match and trying to get everything right for the night. You know, the least I'm going to do is, you know, try to bring a good atmosphere to the, because you got so much negativity around all the time. The last thing you ever need before you step through that curtain is negativity in your mind, because raw negativity could cost you a limb, ability to walk, and I think you understand what I mean by this stroke. you know, or vice versa, you know. And you just got to have your mind right when you step in that square circle. You know, I tell plenty of people, you know, they look at what we do, you know, and be amazed by it. But the thing I always tell them, the real heroes is not me. I'm just the character that you came to see. The real heroes is the family members that have to deal with us when the lights go down. They're the real heroes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the ones that have to deal with our pains, our boo-boos, and whole nine yards. They're the ones that have to put up with us as our family. They're the real superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell them I'm just that character that just make you feel good and happy at the time when I'm out there. You know?
And, you know, I think we're having this conversation the other night, Tank. It's like, no matter where you go, man, no matter, you can be in the ring with, like, the most hated, the most beloved person in the whole freaking town, and the people would still cheer you on, Tank.
Well, you're right about that. You know, I guess I have that appearance. You know, I kind of feel bad behind it because I feel like I mocked out, and I'm gonna tell you why I feel like I mocked out. Which, you know, meaning, you know, follow, you know, like a groupie. It's just one wrestler. He is retired, but he is still active today, and he was one of my idols at the time. It still is today. And that's Mr. Steve Austin. I look at Steve Austin's career. You know, as of today, Steve Austin, well, thanks to WWE fans, when Steve Austin, if I remember correctly, when he appeared in the WWF at the time, and majority of the whole time he was there, he was a heel. But the fans turned him into a likable heel, to my will say a tweener, if I remember the word correctly, you know, the in-betweener. Because Austin could go out there, and I think, Rob, you agree on this one, this man could damn near beat you upside your head with a damn beer can, so I'm going to get you disqualified. And the people would cheer him on.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just like, it was like people were, I looked at the fans and I was one of them. It was like I was living my life through what his action was on TV. And I think when I had the opportunity to become a wrestler, you know, putting that into my little, I call it watching wall, or whatever you want to put it as, I kind of wanted to strive towards that, you know, not more or less being cheered for every wrong deed in the world I do it wrong, but, you know, it's just I wanted to be light regardless. Southeastern half of North Carolina, and South Carolina is pretty much just tank country.
Tank is called someone a bastard, and they would go, yeah, I'm a bastard, yeah.
Literally.
Good times.
Yes, literally. I mean, literally. He's not lying.
Yeah.
But you know what made Austin good was that he was kind of a blue collar champ, and you know, there's nobody out. You know, even the best boss from time to time, you just want to walk up and give the finger to. And you know, him coming up there and, you know, stunning Vince McMahon. I mean, if you got a high stress job, that 30-second spot where he's in the ring and stuns, and Vince McMahon, I got a hand to him. That guy could sell it. And, you know, there's Vince out here in his, you know, four-digit suit, and Stone Cold's out there in a pair of cami shorts and, you know, combat boots, and he drops them in that stunner, and somebody out there in that audience has got two cans of beer, and I don't know how Austin had the wherewithal to catch both of those cans every time. But, you know, he knocks two beers back.
Sending the beer through the TV to Steve Austin. He was sending his beer through the TV screen to Steve to catch.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, the fans loved him for it. As of the day,
yeah.
I looked at him, he came out, well, I think, on the 100th anniversary of Raw. And he came out and started Shane and Ben. The fans, you would think the All Star had never left the ring. The way the fans cheered him.
Yeah.
You know, I just always wanted to have that energy behind me, and I've been so grateful to be able to capture it and be able to hold on to it, and that I am very appreciative. You get some guys, and I think Strowman do agree, you get some guys that get put in that predicament, and it blows their head up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to get on cloud nine until they really get the feelings hurt to bring come back down to reality. But I think even Strowman would say he ain't with me in the locker room. Do I show that? How am I in the locker room, Strowman? Tell me your opinion of me.
Oh, man, Tank has always been the same. Tank is like the same where he gets in the building, when he leaves the building, when he's outside the building. I mean, Tank's always been Tank, man. You know what I mean? And I mean, Tank is real as it gets. And you know, I just I wish more guys were like Tank, man. Honestly, because you know, Tank is like. He's a life of the party in the locker room. Tank's awesome.
I mean, you know, and that's one thing I think has carried the respect with me over the years. You know, even when the time, no matter what strap that I was wearing in the company, I never treated no guy that came to that locker room with no disrespect or that I was better than him because I had a strap. So far as I'm concerned, he got in their boots and they tight the same way I did.
Mm-hmm.
We all here to do a job. And, you know, me, I guess the part of Austin I took about is being the rebellious guy against the boss. And I'm sure you have heard me say this in the locker room. We all there to work together and rebel against the boss. And I think sure would say I have that mentality of Austin because majority of the time, don't I rebel against the boss, Joe? Don't I rebel against him?
Oh, man, from the locker room to the ring, man. Their feud is nonstop, man. I mean, shoot. It's cool, man. I'm eating popcorn watching them from the locker room to the ring, man. So, yeah, the feud never ends.
Yeah, I mean, he had me run a show for you before. Me and Stroh attended on it. You know, the bell time was supposed to be 7:30. Well, oops, it started at 7:10. So, see. I always had that mentality of rebellion against the boss.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Somebody got to do it, so I figured why not be me?
Yeah, too bad they don't have that cool voice like Vince McMahon does.
Oh, boy.
Damn it, Tank. Damn it,
yeah.
Tank.
That's
yeah,
very ring.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, according to Mick Foley in his book, if you ever read any of Mick Foley's books, I mean, if you don't appreciate wrestling, just read them for a good laugh. They're like Bobby Heenan's books. They're just, even if you don't know anything about wrestling, just reading his books or if you're having a bad day, it's a good read. But he was mentioning about The Rock, how The Rock would go out there when he was Rocky Maivia. And here he is, got the perfect hair, got the perfect look. You know, he goes out there and I think Mick Foley said he was fighting Chain and 8-Ball. Remember the two twins?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Harris
I mean,
twins, yeah.
They were huge.
Undertaker's
big guys,
cousins, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, really? But they were horrible in the ring, you know. And but they're out there and they're getting cheered over The Rock. And Vince, according to the story, you know, approached Mick Foley and says, I don't think he's going to make it, and I'm trying to do his dad and his granddad a solid by having him work, but he's laying an egg out there. So Mick, according to the story, says, hey, you need to turn him to a heel. And Vince says, well, I don't think he can pull it off, but you work with him, and if he can pull it off, he stays. If he doesn't pull it off, he's gone. So Mick got him backstage and says, look, here's what's going down. You know, you're going to be gone if you don't make this turn. So The Rock's like, well, you know, I don't know if if I could pull this off or not. And he says, man, think of the biggest dick you've ever dealt with in your life and act like him. And the following week, that was the week when The Rock took over the nation, and he was beating on Ron Simmons, who is bad news. Ron Simmons is the man, you know. And next thing you know, he's out there talking about, well, The Rock says, and wham, it went over. And not only did it go over, but he's actually turned that persona into what he is now. And that's what's made him a movie star actor. I mean, he's still The Rock. He never went back to being Rocky Maivia, even in the movie. He's The Rock. So, yeah, sometimes you just got to hit that core, you know, wherever your wheelhouse is, and never leave, never take yourself too seriously, you know what I mean, to the point where you know, you're not willing to make that change, or you're not willing to, what do you want to say, mold yourself to your audience and everything.
Very true. Very true. And mm-hmm. I think about being an opportunist like I am. I take advantage of it, and I use it to my way. I guess in a smart instance, as we call it, work the crowd. Because,
yep.
As Stro will tell you, it works out for me. I just don't understand my crowd. I think I kind of build a following of balanced people. I mean, I can hit somebody with a chair, and they'll turn around and go, hit him again with the chair. I think, this past weekend, you know, the one and a half of the 605, I hit him with the belt in the head. You know, as I walked towards the front door area, I had some little kid tell me, thank you, you hit him hard enough. He ain't got a knot on his ear. I looked at the kid like,
what the hell?
That was one of them deals where you can't say that. You just get to walk away slowly. And I just walked away slowly.
Yeah, tomorrow's next serial killer just made the connection with you, you know?
Yeah, you know, and the first thing I thought about was, what is going on in the world? Where, I mean, do anybody have love anymore? And I just looked at it, just like, wow, you know, what did that way? And I guess if this old thing goes, if it's what works for me, and I can see it's the opportunity to work it, then I do it. I think my ability to somewhat connect with the fans, if that makes sense, is what has got me so over the majority of the places I've ever been. Because it seems like I have that good way of connecting with them. And it has worked in my favor. And
appreciation for them comes through. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can go out there and be a weenie if you feel like it, but showing your appreciation to the fan base, because, I mean, after all, it's the guys buying the tickets that are, you know, cutting your check. So, you know, having those guys out there, and, you know, if a kid walks up to you and say, hey, you didn't knot them up hard enough, you kind of walk around the kid, but nevertheless, you got to appreciate his, his devotion towards it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so far, you know, I wouldn't thought I had a kid telling me that, but, like I go back to the old saying goes, either you learn in this business or you get out if you don't want to learn no more in the business. Sorry about that. I had my two female dogs get to fighting. Sorry about
Uh-oh.
That.
I must have heard you talking. You didn't hit her hard enough.
This is what happens when you get two females above each other from different races. A feces, a dog.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. Tank.
Hey, Stro, that proves my point about the 21st century. I told you the females are the bad ones, man. The guys are the laid back ones.
You ain't never lied.
Yes. Yes, yes.
The root of all evil, I'm telling you, man.
Tank,
yeah.
I wanted to say that the other Saturday night, it was great because it was you and your boys versus Pop Stroh and his boys, and you guys came out and it was everybody was cheering for both teams.
They're not relation, by the
really
way.
It was really great. Pardon? What'd you say?
They're not relation, by the way. My boys aren't related to me. They were your tag team partners.
We're not going there, Stro.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up, right?
It was great. Yeah, we had two popular three-man tag teams there, and it was great. So it just goes to show that Tang's right, treats people right. And I got to say this: I want you to tell. There was a lady in that room Saturday night that was the best person on the program, and that was a lady.
Oh,
one of the wrestlers wanted to come grab a chair from in front of her to go hit someone over the head with, and she started yelling at him, and she made that wrestler bring that chair back, and she said, "My word is my bond," and that happens to be your mother, who turns out to be one of the nicest ladies I've ever met. And I want you to tell her I said that. And she's been fan of yours, but she honestly about stole the show from everybody. She said, "You bring that chair back." I told that lady it would be here when she got here, and she was the best. So tell her she's got what it takes to be in front of a crowd, for sure.
Well, I would say this much, and I'm number four out of four kids. My oldest brother is 55, and I'm the youngest at 44. And my mother, she was at the time, as what she called it, the shortest little thing in the house, other than my father. And she was the type of parent, as Will said. She's definitely old school. That lady spoke, you listen. If you didn't, I guaranteed you. A potholder could be a very useful weapon in this 5 foot lady's paint.
Some hot wheel tracks, wooden spoons. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, some as flimsy as a potholder, trust me, can be very deadly when used in the wrong person's hand. I'm telling you.
Oh, mercy. Tell them how much she loves Moses Manson.
Oh, she loves it to the point she want to beat him on sight. Me and Stoke will be sitting there beating 11 the hell out of each other. She will go right past Stoke just to get to Moses. And Stoke look at me, and I'm looking at Stoke. He's like, "Oh, well, he on his own. We leave him." We'll leave it. We'll go to the other side of the ring. My mother understands the business, but she still has that fan side of her. She get wrapped up in. Trust me when I tell you. I think his name the wrestler had to be Joy Hurst. I glad it's for his safety. He gave her that chair. Because honestly, my money was on the 5 foot woman. I already know what she can do. When she strikes, she gonna strike one. She's the one hit a quitter. And she was let you know the older she get, that means she gotta hit you extra harder to make sure she knock you down so you don't get back up. And that little woman, that woman means it. So I think it kind of part of her raising has kind of helped me be successful. As being tough in the ring. Because I'm going to tell you, that woman would not play. I'm going to tell you. I've got spankings from her. What they call spankings or whoopings back in them days, they were called a child abuse these days. And that's something, in my opinion, is not child abuse, but something that needs to happen these days, because you wouldn't have so many juvenile crime rates.
Yep.
Had that firm discipline. I mean, my mom could look at me, and I already knew just by her look, if that look changed anymore, she going to be on top of me, spanking my behind. Because I've done something that I shouldn't have done, just by the look. These days, I don't know what's up with these kids. You go to look at them, they look at you like you lost your mind. What you looking at?
Yeah.
You dumb
those are also to keep the kids with gluten-free diets and that kind of stuff. You know, it's like
eating,
I always say, it's a good old country butt whipping you need sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would truly say she fed me. You know, she gave me the old saying goes, you know, grits and all that. So I think part of her raising is the reason why I've got to be where I'm at. The only part I'm just still struggling on is, and so you've been there in that company for 3 years with me. And I think you see the same thing I still struggle on. It's just trying to maintain her, you know, in that chair while moving or, you know, while some wrestlers are getting to the point where he don't want to actually go that way. I mean, it got so bad at one time. I go walk in the locker room, and the first thing everybody looking at me going, who wrestling Tank? Especially if you see my mother there in the building. And everybody looking at me, and I'm like, I call a person's name. Oh, no, I'm not wrestling Tank tonight, man. They go to Dolly, man. What the hell I do to piss you off? And I'm like, what the fuck am I? Oh, I'm a bad name or something? and they'll look at me, and honestly, the wrestler will look at me like, Tank, it's nothing personal against you, dude. I'm just not trying to go out there and get on your mom's bad side. And I'm like, my mom, she's a freaking fan. Don't worry about her. He look at me like, shoot, I look what she did to Moses. I'm worrying about her. I was like, what the world? I think Stro is the only fella that has actually had no problem.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
As my daughter just said in the background, Stro had the balls. I think after all these many years and all the different characters, and I'm pretty sure Stro has seen some characters in his time in the wrestling business.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Too many.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, you still try to strive to do what you got to do to move forward. And that's why I think I've enjoyed, you know, the ups and downs of the pro wrestling business. You know, it's just like a life that you just grow up on.
Yeah. Well, if you make it miserable, it will be miserable. You got to keep that.
You got to keep
your head focused. And even in the worst of times, and it's easy to get down now. Don't get me wrong. The devil will get to you quick. But, you know, you got to always think that there's light. You know what I mean? And, you know, even in the worst of times. And, yeah, that's – but those are the guys who make it versus the guys who don't. The guys that are able to own the mistakes, the guys that are able to navigate the bad times without falling all to pieces, those are the guys that succeed in the long run. So it ain't about winning the battle, it's about winning the war, you know what I mean? So if you go in the box and everybody's standing around looking at your body going, ah, man, lost a good one, then mission accomplished. You know, when the funeral home got to hire people to carry your casket to the hole, you done screwed up.
Very well.
Yeah.
You worry about that. You, hey, that's straight to the point. You have.
Without foot is only Dave can do.
Absolutely. That's why I have a running list of people that I hope will carry the casket. So that way, if I make one of them mad, I got an alternate to fall back on. Because I can't have them put my casket on a slip and slide, you know.
Slip and slide.
With nibbling down the road.
Well, see, just the opportunity for me. Hey, slip and slide, that's something different. You don't see that every day. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
I say when I die, I want a Superman casket, and when I die, they can shoot me out the back of a plane.
What about the landing?
That's it. Yeah, sooner or later, the landing will be there, but I ain't gonna feel much by that point.
Well, I guess you're right. You won't. You'd be trying to flatten out. So yeah, you're right.
Oh man.
Mercy.
Oh my goodness.
So John, you hanging in there, brother? You all right?
I'm hanging in there. I'm probably going to make it. I mean, I went there and they let me go from the doctor's office today and said, well, we don't need to call a funeral home, so you just need to get on out of here.
That's good. Ain't nobody followed you out of the doctor's office with a shovel. You know you're all right, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
great.
You are. You're in pretty good shape.
Very true.
That's great news.
That's
yeah.
Indeed.
And so, Pop Stroh, L.A. brought up something, and I wanted to ask you the same question. He was talking about that day, that show, that one that he remembered. Do you have one in particular, a story you'd share with us? Because I'd like to hear your incredible day of wrestling or night of wrestling. If you got one you could share with us, I'd like to hear it.
Oh, man. There's one involving Tank we did. Remember, Tank, when we did that War Games match for UPWA?
Hey, yeah.
With the two
we're
rings.
Part of that.
Yeah. And, oh, my God. It was like that one ring was just fantastic, and the other ring was just god-awful.
Oh.
And all of us, like, went to that one ring. Duffy and Moses on the other side. Oh man, everybody was flying off the top that night, and including Tank. And I remember laying there one time, laying there in the mat, and I remember Tank climbing to the top rope, and I remember him flying up in the air. I'm looking, man, that's pretty. He does the most beautiful frog splash in the middle of the ring. I was like, oh, my God, that was amazing. But it was all in that good ring because we left everybody on that piece of S ring next to us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, oh,
that
man,
one
that was Oh, you take a bump of that thing, you just don't want to move. You just want to just get stretchered out right from
just
the get-go.
Lay there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a good question, though, from a fan side of things. So the guys who dream up of these matches, like the guy who came up with ladder matches, or of course the Dudley Boys with their breakaway tables and all that kind of stuff, the guys who come up with these things, are they wrestlers, former wrestlers, or are they just guys that like did a podcast and had an idea and now it's your job to carry it on? So, I mean, when you guys are up against it, how much of a logistic pain in the neck is it when a guy says, hey, well, let's have a cage match, but instead of having, let's have chain link fence instead of your average, just regular wrought iron. You know, how big of a, are there certain ones you're going, nope, ain't touching it, and then there's certain ones where you're going, oh, okay, I can handle that.
Well, on my end, I said I've had both. I don't know about Stroh, but I've had both, and I kind of stop them on the start.
Oh yeah.
Depending on what type of match they say, if it's too stupid. Knowing me, and I think Stroh would say, I have this habit of coming out of my mouth, and the first thing I'm going to ask him is, what the hell is he smoking on?
Oh,
I think Stroh has heard me say that to Donnie, and I'm going to look at him like, what you smoking on?
Pass
some of that dumb shit.
I mean, and the first one that comes to mind is the scaffold match. What was the Road Warriors, I think, fought that scaffold match years ago? And I'm thinking, here's a couple guys that are 300-some-odd pounds of lean muscle, and they're getting on a scaffold. You know what I mean? The same thing, I'd lay brick on or frame out a house, and you're climbing up that thing with a load of bricks, and you're just going, okay, Lord, get me to the top of this thing. Because all I got to do is keep the lights on. I don't love what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And here they are.
You know what made that match interesting? Also, Dave,
what's that?
Hawk had a broke leg that night from Japan.
Holy smokes.
And the Road Warrior Animal was good at sports medicine. And he taped up Hawk's leg that night so he can actually walk on the scaffold. But
no
kid, so he was like
broke leg.
Walking around with a broke leg, with no one knew, right? Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, that's because I see some of these things, you know, even going back to the Owen Hart thing, for crying out loud, you know, I don't blame the guy for walking up the fence and saying, hey, yo, I don't feel like jumping from the top of the Dean Dome tonight. You know, Sting, when he was doing his thing, where they were dropping him down, you know, you do that 200-some-odd times a year. Yeah, man, after a while, you know, you got to get to a point where you're thinking, man, I keep rolling the dice every night just coming to work, you know. So,
true.
Yeah, I've always been curious about those gimmicks. Is like, who books them? Are they the actual wrestlers who say, hey, you know, I think it'd be nifty we slam one another through a table tonight? Or are they just some knucklehead, the nephew of the promoter, and says, hey, I think it'd be neat if they throw each other through brick walls tonight? And, you know, who's the one that makes the ultimate call on that, you know?
Well, it's supposed to be the promoter to run the show, but that goes back to what I was saying, how bad the indie circuit has got, because you got a lot of backyarders that's actually able to get promoter licenses there. And it'll be the one, in my opinion, will come up with them crazy idea gimmicks. And it's cool to do it, but if you're not properly trained or properly able to be athletic enough to pull it off, I think it's basically you're shortening your lifespan. We almost worse than motorcycles.
Yeah,
in my
opinion.
Gotta
be.
But you do have some guys that majority of them, in my opinion, will be the ones that has not ever stepped foot in that ring and really understood. You know, stepping in the ring is one thing, but understanding the art of being a wrestler in that ring is two different ball games. You agree or disagree, Stroh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, in my opinion, I think it's always be the knuckleheads that don't understand what it is to step in that ring that will come up with these crazy ideas.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I watched that Lucha Underground, and those guys jump off a two-story. I mean, they're a good 20 foot up when they're jumping on top of one another, and I can see them talking behind the scenes going, all right, man, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb up on this second deck. I'm going to climb up on the rail, and I'm going to jump down on you, and I'm going to look at you and say, hey, your mom's going to jump on me. You ain't doing that to me.
But,
I will be the guy on the other end jumping the 20 to my feet.
Yeah,
Tank and I, we've seen like people that buy tickets in the front row one show, and then like the next show, they're actually a promoter and booker and Master Universe.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like the book business. Yeah.
No.
That's crazy.
Hey, it's funny, and I think Joe will agree with this one. And don't get me wrong, everybody has to get their feet wet in order to get good in this business or good at anything you do. But you can always tell when you get a promoter that wants it, but have not an ounce of clue on how to go about getting it. And they'll come and approach you, and as soon as they approach you, they're going to approach you with something, you know, they're going to come to you like a fan, hey, how you doing, Tango, yada, yada, yada. Then they just out of the blue going to say some retarded stupid to ask you in that polite way, would you come work for them? And I'd be looking at him like, you know, why you just didn't ask me that from the get-go? Because you lost me about 15 minutes ago in that conversation. You know, I want to tell him, but I don't want
right.
to be rude to him. So, I don't know. You know, it's each his own.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that true?
It is, so it's each his own, so... I don't know. It's all depending how you turn around and you approach it, I guess, in a polite way. Me, I just approach it as it is. And hope for God I don't send that stupid out of my mouth to be rude.
Yeah, those stupid phrases like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. No problem.
Uh-huh.
Those are usually ones that get you in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Exactly. Well, Tank, you got a while to go in that ring now, don't you?
I got 22 in. I'm trying to go to 25. Then I'm gonna evaluate, you know, body wise, whole nine yards, and based on what I wanted, you know, what I'm gonna do from that point on. I mean, I've been grateful enough in the 22 years of it to seen a lot, been a lot of places. I've done a lot of what I wanted to do in it, so I'm very satisfied with my stuff on it. To a point, I'm at that peace of mind, as you want to call it. But, you know, my wife, she tells me in a hobby, she said, yeah, 25 going to come, and you still going to get your butt in that ring. You know, I would be sitting here. I'd be sitting here.
Loving the game.
Said, you know, and Strowman's had a chance to meet my wife. And I'd be lying if I see it, said it probably won't happen. But at the same time, all depending on how bad this body is in shape and joints wise, I mean, damn, I'm going to try to get in that ring if I can't even sit there and walk straight. That's just plain dumb. So, other than that, so far, you know, I have the normal aches and pains when the weather gets a certain way.
Yeah.
But other than that, so far, I don't have to pop no pills to function during the daytime. And as long as it stays like that, who knows? I might go longer. I don't know. But if we get to the point where I have to pop medicine in order to function on a daily basis, then that lets me know in a polite way that my time is up in that ring, because I don't want to get in that position where I have to pop pills in order to wrestle. I never had to do it so far, and I'm not going to do it if I can help it.
It looks like you have fun when you're out there, though, I'll tell you that.
Well, I do, and that's the main thing about it. No matter if you, it's so sadistic what I'm saying, no matter if you enjoy beating somebody up or you enjoy somebody beating you up, I mean, the main thing is, it's just like, not just in the wrestling business, it's everywhere. If you don't have fun at doing your job, then you might as well leave it alone, because you lose your creativity and your ability to want to do it. And, you know, with our industry, you got to have fun. Because anybody in their right mind wouldn't want to go do getting bumped around and getting pains and aches and wrong moves executed on them that might take a joint out of place, you know, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It don't take but one. I mean, you can name them, you know, rattle names off. You know, first one always comes to mind is Drozdov, Darren Drozdov, man. And, you know, the bad news about that is that not only did it cripple Droz, man, but, I mean, D'Lo was never the same, and D'Lo had a ton of skills. And, you know, it just got, you know, it tore him up so bad. He was never the same guy after that. And I don't blame him. I mean, it's, you know, if you're in there intentionally hurting somebody, you don't belong in there in the first place. You know what I mean? So if you got guys out there and they get careless in the ring, and, you know, we've all heard about the stiff guys, the guys that nobody wants to fight because they can't, you know, pull punches or anything. But, I mean, I couldn't possibly imagine, you know, you go in there and you're just trying to get the job done and you hurt a guy. Man, the burden, you know, it's just – that's why I marvel at these guys, like – Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sometimes things happen in the ring. It does. And it's not intentional. I mean, things happen sometimes. But, you know, you got those. I use the most basic move that everybody always sees at a wrestling match, a body slam. You can just take a basic body slam, and I think sure you agree with me on it, regardless of how you land or whatever. If it's time for your body to hit a weak point, boom, as soon as that impact, you can be paralyzed the rest of your life. It's something as a simple, basic body slam. And it's all depending on how it's executed. At the same time, it's all depending on how well your body is able to endure it. Now, Grant, you got some guys I've seen that will almost spike a guy. Me, I'm always, and Stroh has been on the receiving end of one of mine. I tuck the guy here. Whether you do it or not, I'm going to tuck it for you. Because at the end of the night, we both came in there to dance. we both walked in, we both gonna walk out, because you never know, tomorrow night we might got to do the same dance again. I've done that,
right,
working for the majors and working for the indies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to make sure you take care of your partner no matter how bad you beat the hell out of
them. Yeah.
That's true, man. Yeah. You know, and, you know, I look at these guys, man. Mick Foley. Mick Foley right off the bat. I mean, Ric Flair said that he was a glorified stuntman, and I know that probably hurt a lot of feelings when he said that, but, I mean, you look at Rick. Rick's in his, you know, banging on 70, and Rick can still get it on. Nick, you know, Mick Foley, he's doing nothing with it, you know, and yeah, you look at Mark Calloway, the Undertaker, man. What do they say, like, he's got out of his 13 vertebrae, I think there's only, like, five of them that aren't fused together now. What's going to be the quality of your life afterwards? You know what I mean? When you go in there and take those kind of licks. So, my heart goes out to those guys. I mean, they sold it out in the ring, but in the meantime, I'm sure they're going to pay for it in their retired years, you know?
Yeah. That's why I always say, you know, when I would tell a fan when they come up and they ask me about, you know, wrestling, and, of course, you still have that one fan will still pay a ticket every show to come see that show, but then walk up to a wrestler and go, so well, how fake was this tonight? And you look at him like,
oh, wow.
Like, you know, like, wow, okay. You know, and he kind of got to get your thoughts together. That way you, like a character like me, don't say nothing out my mouth, bro. But at the same time, if you believe it's fake, then you believe enough in it, it's still come and buy a ticket. I'm cool with that. That's all I want to tell them. But, you know, but at the same given time, you know, you can't, you know, how can I put it? I use me and Stro. Me and Stro have had our set of feuds, whole 9 yards. But I know with Stro, Stro might beat the hell out of him. I think what Stro took me for a ride in a damn chair cart one show. But then the following week, we were somewhere else at the Valley each other. And the thing, the whole principle of what I'm saying is, if you look at me in Stroke matches, you're like, Jesus Christ, you guys are killing each other. Well, we're killing each other to enough to a point where we can see each other another day. And we do it with professionals. And, you know, you kind of have guys, just like Stroke said, you actually have promoters that will buy tickets. And they'll see a match like me and Stro will probably go, well, hey, yada, 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 yada. Well, at first they'll start out talking a good game, but then you will really find the other side of them out, because somewhere in form or fashion, I think you agree with me on this, Stro, they're going to turn around and they're going to say something that's not going to be sensible or be, it's like nonsense. It just throws the whole conversation off and make you go, excuse me, what did you just say? You know, what was the whole point of this?
Right.
I think you guys don't have to understand, you know, when you see us guys in the business, you know, we are true professionals. And, you know, that's why I told you to try to give myself a little bit of time to evaluate myself, because I've seen what my wife does for a living. She drives for the elderly, and she had worked in nursing homes. And I see the way elderly people that's nowhere near in our career, what they go through. And I sit back and I think about how every once in a while she'll say, I'll burn her up because my joints be hurting because of the weather being cold. And I'm looking at, by the 10th of my year, if my body's to the point where it's worse, then, yeah, I'm going to step away from the ring, because I have a kid that I'm trying to make sure I can be raised up. And I'm like you said earlier, in my retirement years, I don't want to be walking around in a wheelchair, you know, because
right.
I kind of helped speed it up
right.
a little bit when I had the warning sign and gave it up when I had the opportunity to.
We're closing in on, like, 5 minutes to go in the podcast. Is there anything you guys like to plug?
Well,
with me, I'm gonna shout about the Hunger Series, like I always do. And one particular thing, if you're out this weekend doing the St. Patrick's Day thing, watch what you're doing. Go on out there and have a good time, but have somebody to drive you home. Don't be out there tearing things up. Don't be out on the roads all liquored up. We won't want to have a good time, because I don't want to be on the other side of that road when you come over that center line. So if you would, see what you can do about getting a ride home. Call an Uber, call a cab, walk, do whatever you got to do. Just be careful out here this weekend, peeps.
Uber.
That's a good one for sure. Dr. John says, buy Lizardman, Bigfoot, and Friends. It's on sale at Amazon.com, Kindle, and the paperback. Please buy a copy. It's fun. Getting a lot of good comments. Lizardman, Bigfoot, and Friends. I'll turn it back over to you, Papa. Actually, I'll turn it over to L.A. Tank.
The man of the hour, L.A. Tank.
Thank you. I guess the main thing I will probably say, I'm like everybody else, you know, this weekend coming up for everybody that has to go to St. Patty's parties and the guys that got to get in the business that they had to go hit the road for the road shows. Hope everybody is safe, you know, weekend. So we can start this next following week off because it seems like these months is rolling by fast all of a sudden now.
In line.
So, and just wish everybody the best. And I appreciate you guys having me on y'all podcast. I really do. I'm very appreciative and very humble for it.
We appreciate you having on, man.
You know, to come on back. If you ever need me, invite me back.
Always a pleasure. Champ, you're the best, L.A. Tank.
Sometimes I don't
love it, brother.
Hey, as strong as I'll say, I feel like the man is after me. I'm on a run.
And the man.
And I want to say, Papa Stroh, thanks for taking over tonight, being the lead for Comic-Con Stars. And I'm sure I'll be back in 100% next week, but I want to thank you for taking the lead tonight. You're a valuable friend and a great guy to have as part of our group. We appreciate you.
Most definitely. Well
done. Thank you for everything, Dr. John. Thank you, my brother Dave, and thank you, my brother L.A. Tank, for being on the show tonight, man. It's such a pleasure having you on, man.
Good times, man. Yep, good times.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I guess we would be remiss if we don't remind everybody about the Jacksonville Con on June 2nd. Can't forget that either. Talk about months going by fast. We're not 2.5 months out of that.
Man,
he got there, man. You were on the same wavelength I was on, man. It was like, you were going to get a text after the show. Dude, you need to elbow Tank in the ribs and say, come on down. I'm sure, man, you'd have a blast down there. I mean, we're a bunch of knuckleheads, so it's always a good time, man, and bring you into the family.
Yeah.
Show up at every show. Yeah.
Well, I plan on doing it. That's why I plan on getting in touch with you guys, get that set up for me to make my appearances at them.
We can set up another table. That's easy work.
We'll do that for sure.
Hey, ain't no problem, man. You can tell me, tell me the date and the time. If I can make it, I'll be there.
Yeah,
all
that'd be awesome.
Definitely.
Oh, there she blows.
All right, so where's the British chick?
Yeah, we're a minute and a half from the British chick, and I'll just say thanks again to everybody. Thanks, Papa Stroh. Thanks, Dave, and thanks, L.A. Tank.
He said the British chick.
Back to you, Papa Stroh.
The British chick.
Thank you, Doc.
The British chick.
Thank you, Dr. John.
The bad news was she was late for the party last week. Last week, she totally stood us up, fashionably late. We were waiting for her to cut us off, and it's like nobody home. Felt a little lonely.
She's not talking.
Happy Paddy's Day, everybody.
No.
That like the man after her, too.
The man after the British lady. Right?
Well, y'all said she British. You said she British, so I guess in her case, she have ICE. The ICE police is after her.
Especially if she's in Virginia, right?
Oh, she got gassed away with a nerve agent. That's what happened.
Oh, mercy.
But, you know, it creates the most awkward moments in the show when you're waiting for her to come on there and you're kind of doing that, okay, everybody have a good night, and you're waiting for her just to kind of come in there and cut you off so you know it's the end of the show. And then she never talks, and you kind of got that uncomfortable moment of silence, you know?
We're in.
Like
we're
right
done,
now.
So we'll see y'all. Bye bye.
Yeah. So, how about that Braves game?
Yeah, terrible.
Long Talk Radio. Goodbye.